The O'Brien Girl, with singing stars Eula Parker, Jeff Brook, and the Keynotes.
Little Miss O'Brien, far too high you're flying, all unheeding you'll be speeding till your head's a whirl.
Little Miss O'Brien, oh, you'd best be flying.
It's the height of the holiday season, and the grounds of the Lake Hotel are crowded with guests. Among them is Mr. Wilbur Billy Weathersby, general manager of the firm of Patton and Drexel. He's waiting by the entrance for his chief, Mr. Humphrey Drexel, to appear. Mr. and Mrs. Drexel have just driven up from town and have gone to their rooms to change. Ah, Billy sees him, a rather fussy, overdressed man with perpetually hunted look.
I'm here, Mr. Drexel. Ah, I couldn't see you in the bright light. Sorry I was so long, my boy. Had to change. Wife made me.
So, I see.
How do you like my chess suit?
Oh, so-so. But why do you call it that, sir?
Well, every time the tailor sends his bill in, it's my move.
Oh, I see. It's not really a check suit, sir.
Very good.
You took long enough to put it on.
My goodness. Tell me I'm dreaming. Over there, look. That's never the O'Brien girl.
It is. Alice O'Brien, our head stenographer.
Did you ask her up here?
Oh, of course not.
Oh, dear. If my wife finds out, she'll jump to the worst of wrong conclusions.
But surely, sir, you're not afraid of Mrs. Drexel. You're master in your own home.
Paymaster, Billy. I'm boss in the office, but she's the commander-in-chief.
But I don't get this. Alice could never afford to come here on the salary you pay her. That's unless you've been giving her extra. Oh, but you'd never do that.
Of course not. I know. It's that wretched inheritance she told me about. That £200 her uncle left her. I told her to invest it.
Looks as if that's what she's done. Invested it in a good time here.
And my wife has picked the same hotel. Oh, what a wonderful time I'm going to have keeping them apart.
Doesn't look as if you'll have to worry. She's surrounded by men. And your partner's son, Larry Patton's among them.
But he mustn't have anything to do with her. Where is he?
Well, at the moment, he seems to be teaching some of the girls the latest college dance.
Like this, girls. Chipurva, Kayanga, Onondaga.
Sounds more like a Red Indian dance to me.
Wow, wow, pow, wow, big chief, heap, happy he, go, powder puff, ball tonight.
Big chief, now no more pow, wow, about the teepee gray. Pretty squaw of Iroquois, no more she swing and sway.
Still big chief, he just as lief forget the far away. For he sees he'd much to please in white girl dance today.
Oh, we like a mustang dance in a snookum white girl's dance.
When sweet white girl dance, ooh-wah, it all the same like Indian prance.
Ooh-wah,
the funny quick step and trick step she knows. Move her heel and toe, just like a squaw of long ago. She make 'em wriggle and wiggle, just so, 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 so.
Walk like wounded goose, or like a lazy loping moose, or like a waddling and toddling little baboon.
Shake like shivering lambs, to happy tunes and tom-tom chants. Oh, little bright girl,
she bright girl,
so big chief Indian prance.
The master's voice.
Confound it. If my wife ever loses me, it'll be through double pneumonia, not carelessness.
Humphrey? Oh, there you are. I've been calling you. Oh, I see you're with Mr. Weathersby.
How do you do, Mrs. Drexel?
I was never better. But you look pale, Humphrey.
Yes, I feel pale. I just tripped over one.
A pail?
Yes, a white bucket. I wish I'd kicked it.
But you said you did. Oh, never mind. I have some news. There's a very important person staying here. Everyone's crazy about her. Quite mysterious, too. And you know how I love mysteries. I had the proprietor introduce us.
Oh, and who was she?
Her name is O'Brien, but everyone calls her the O'Brien girl.
The O'Brien girl?
Yes. Do you know her?
Never heard of her, have we, Billy?
She's very lovely, and I know she's important, so I've asked her to come with us to the Longworths for tea.
The Longworths? The exclusive Longworths? My hat.
I don't see what your hat's got to do with it.
You've asked my You've asked her to the Longworths?
Yes, and she's coming. Mr. Weathersby, do be an angel and find Eloise for me. I'm dying to present my daughter to Miss O'Brien.
There's nothing I'd like better.
Bring her straight back, mine.
Eloise, you bet I'll go and find her. I've been waiting for the chance. Oh, gee. Oh, gosh. Oh, golly, I'm in love. Oh, gee. Oh, gosh. It's you I'm thinking of. I love to hold your teeny weeny hand in mine. I get a tickly wiggly feeling round my spine. Oh me, oh my, oh how I love to kiss. I swear that home could never be like this. You have got my nerves unstrung. Let's be foolish while we're young. Oh, gee. Oh, gosh. Oh, golly. I'm in love.
As you may have gathered from Billy's enthusiasm, he's rather keen on Eloise Drexel. But unhappily for him, Mrs. Drexel plans to marry her to Larry Patton, son of her husband's partner. She and Humphrey would be just a little worried if they could see Larry now, because Larry has found the O'Brien girl.
How do you do? I'm sure we've met somewhere before.
How do you do, Mr. Patton?
I was right then. We have met.
Oh, no, we've never met. You've seen me lots of times. But you'll be awfully disappointed when I tell you where.
I bet I won't. Where?
In your father's office. I'm Alice O'Brien, his stenographer.
Oh, I remember. I gave you a letter.
To your tailor, telling him he'd have to wait for his money.
But what were you doing posing as a stenographer?
I wasn't. I'm posing here.
I don't understand.
It's quite an innocent masquerade. I came into a little money, just enough to have one good fling. So here I am.
Oh, bully for you. Now I know I'm going to have a good time, too. Do you believe in luck?
Yes, I do.
So do I, and I'll tell you why.
It never could ever be said I'm superstitious.
I blush for shame, but just the same, I know that it's so that good signs will bring our wishes. I'm telling you.
I know it's true, and that is why I do. I found a four-leaf clover, and the next day I found you.
And I saw the moon anew over my right shoulder too.
They say it's good luck the whole world over, and I must believe it's true. For I found a four-leaf clover, and the next day I found you.
Oh, isn't it wonderful here? It's as if all my dreams have come true. I've been having a heavenly time, and now everything is perfect. Do you know why?
Well, I'd like to hope that I've got something to do with it.
Oh, you have. But this is the most marvelous thing. I've been invited to the Longworth tea.
You have? Then you must let me take you in my canoe. There'll be plenty of room.
Will you? Oh, yes, I'd love that. But if I come, you must promise me one thing.
Anything?
No, just this. I want you to promise that for a little while you'll try and forget that I don't really belong to all this.
Oh, of course you belong. I'll see to it that you have the time of your life today and at the ball tonight. Gosh, you mean, when I think you've been living right under my nose and I didn't know it. That's the way life is.
Yes, that's the way life is.
Now that you've been found, I...
Yes?
I'm going to forget everything except that I'm going to take you to the Longworth tea in my canoe.
I'm drifting along with the tide. I've gone astray. My day is through.
My day is through.
And so I'm just drifting along with the tide. I lost my way when I lost you.
My boat's so frail, tossed by a stormy sea, is forced to sail anywhere.
tide I'll go drifting until we meet again.
'Tell, Mrs. Drexel is making all arrangements while Humphrey has been racking his brains to think of some way of preventing his stenographer being included.
Oh, my goodness, what a mess. I wouldn't hurt the O'Brien girl's feelings for all the aristocratic families in the world, but if Molly finds out, she'll kill me.
Humphrey, will you stop mumbling to yourself and listen to me? I've got everything arranged now. Laddie is taking Eloise in his canoe. Billy will take Miss O'Brien in his, and we will go in the launch.
Here you are, Mrs. Drexel. Everything's fixed. Miss O'Brien will come with Eloise and me.
But Billy is taking her.
Eloise? Oh, that's okay with me.
Eloise is going with you.
Yes, my boy. It wouldn't be fair for Eloise to have to travel all that way with a stranger.
A stranger? That's a joke. I've just found out who Miss O'Brien is.
Oh, I hope he steps on his tonsils. Billy, stop him, quick.
Yes, old man, you don't understand. Oh, come, Billy, you know who Miss O'Brien is.
Larry, I just tease the boy. We don't know her, can't you understand?
But she's your stenographer.
Stenographer? Humphrey, is this the truth?
I can explain everything, dear.
You've let me invite an ordinary girl from your office as my guest to the Longworths.
But Mrs. Drexel, shh, she's coming, she'll hear.
Please, everyone, it's all right. I heard. And really and truly, I'm terribly sorry about everything. But you needn't worry, Mrs. Drexel. I won't embarrass you with my presence. Nothing in the world would make me accept the invitation now. Nothing.
Oh, bully for you, kid.
Humphrey, I wish to talk with you alone. How dare you allow me to be humiliated like this?
I'm going out after her.
No. Better let her be alone for a while. She's got her chin up. Did you see the smile on her face? Nothing will ever rub that off.
Yes, I saw. Makes you think, doesn't it?
Yes, that girl's got what it takes.
Learn to smile.
You must learn to smile.
And the world's own smile will answer to your greeting.
Just a smile.
Without lure or guile. One that shows a tender heart beneath its beating.
Not too bold,
and yet not too cold.
Just a hint of sweet approval shines above it.
Such a smile will make life worthwhile.
For whoever sees it cannot help but love it.
Learn to smile, you must learn to smile.
And the world's own smile will answer to your greeting.
Just a smile.
Without lure or guile.
One that shows a tender heart beneath his beating.
Not too bold.
And yet not too cold.
Just a hint of sweet approval shines upon him. Such a smile will make life worthwhile. For whoever sees it cannot help but smile.
And so the curtain falls on Act One of The O'Brien Girl. On the the way to the Longworth Tea, Larry's canoe sinks. Larry is knocked unconscious and is saved from drowning by Eloise. Night has come. Mrs. Drexel has recovered from the shock of the afternoon, and all her thoughts are for the moment when the engagement of her daughter Eloise to Larry is to be announced. The ballroom is crowded with guests, watched wistfully from the outside by the O'Brien girl. Billy Weathersby, who has been searching for her, approaches.
Ah, here you are. And looking very lovely, too. Why aren't you dancing?
It's fun just watching.
Oh, much better dancing. I say, you look a long way from the office tonight.
I'm not, though. I'm going back tomorrow.
Then I'll make sure you have a good time tonight. Let me have your program.
But, Mr. Weathersby...
Please. You can leave it to me to pick the right sort of partners. I'd ask you for this number myself, but I'm not so good on these modern numbers, and I'd rather talk.
Oh, it's quite easy. You can dance and talk, too, to this one.
Oh, is that so? Right, you do the dancing and talking, and I'll just watch my step and listen.
Society has learned a brand new dance. You see it everywhere. It's scarcely noted for its elegance, nor for its ritzy air. It's practiced in most every station. This art of rhythmic conversation. The conversation step is very easy. A close formation step and kind of squeezy. There is no hop to it, there is no stop to it. Just keep on walking and keep talking, talking. Around and round it goes, you cannot hurry. And as for stopping toes, you needn't worry. But it may cost your rep, this foolish conversation stays.
Mind if I cut in, Billy? You don't want to be dancing with one of the firm, Miss O'Brien.
Thank you.
The conversation step is very easy to do.
A close formation step and kind of squeezy.
There is no hop to it, do.
There is no stop to it.
Just keep on walking and keep talking, talking.
Around and round it goes.
You cannot hurry.
And as for stopping toes,
you needn't worry. But it may cost your rep, this foolish conversation stay.
The conversation stay.
That was lovely.
It was great. You look lovely.
Thank you, sir. I believe I have to congratulate you.
Well, I'm not so sure. If you mean my engagement. Well, anyhow, it hasn't been announced yet. I say, let's slip outside. I can't stand everyone staring at me.
Because you're dancing with me? Very well, then.
Of course not. It's not that at all. Sit here and I'll tell you. I want to tell you why I have to be engaged to Eloise.
Because you love each other, I suppose.
But we don't. Eloise is crazy about Billy, but Dad and Mr. Drexel, well, they're partners, you know. They want it, and I'm under a sort of obligation to Eloise.
You mean because she saved you from drowning?
Yes. That's what worries me. All the time I imagine people are saying, well, that's the fellow who was saved from drowning by a girl.
But that's silly. You ought to be grateful.
I'm not, though. It makes me feel such a prawn. Tell me, do you ever get blue?
Often. I feel blue tonight because I go home tomorrow. Back to the little desk where I belong.
You don't. You belong here.
Oh, no. That was only a dream.
There once was a plain little working maid whose head was a harbor of dreams. And while she was working, fine plans she made and thought of most wonderful schemes. Her name was O'Brien, which meant, you see, her dreaming, of course, she must try to find what the answer of life would be. And this was the old world's reply. Little Miss O'Brien, far too high you're flying. All unheeding, you've been speeding till your head's a whirl. Little Miss O'Brien, home you'd best be flying. There your wayward wings to furl, in your humble nest to curl. Just
a plain O'Brien girl, just a plain O'Brien girl.
Humphrey, I just saw Larry dancing with that O'Brien girl. It's disgraceful. He should dance with no one but Eloise tonight.
Oh, let the poor boy have his last run off the chain.
Nonsense. I've never heard of such a thing. Has the press photographer arrived?
Yes, he's in the bar, taking some schnapps.
Some schnapps? What of?
My dear, he's taking a little gin.
A black one? Here at my ball? And you've let him take her picture?
No, a pink one. A pink gin, a drink.
Oh, you've given me such a turn. Now, does he know what to do? I want him on the floor to take the happy couple when the engagement is announced.
Yes, my dear.
And goodness, there's Eloise dancing with Billy Weathersby again. Hasn't that girl any sense?
Now, my dear, she's probably having her last fling, too.
You go and cut in at once.
Yes, my dear, that's if I can get a word in edgeways.
I'm just wild about Billy, and Billy's wild about me. The heavenly blisses of his kisses fill me with ecstasy. He's sweet just like chocolate candy, and like the honey from a bee. Just wild about Billy, and he's just wild about, cannot do without, he's just wild about me.
Papa Drexel dutifully cuts in when he gets a chance, but not before Billy has learned what he wants to know. Eloise loves him, not Larry. But unless Larry can be cured of his inferiority complex, he'll never assert himself. Larry must be made to feel heroic. But how? Billy tells Alice his idea.
If we can make Larry feel that he's a hero, he'll tell Pa Drexel to go jump in the lake.
But how?
I've told the photographer to be just outside in 10 minutes' time. I want you to walk out wearing this yellow wrap. Now, don't be afraid of what happens.
Oh, what will happen?
Oh, it'll be just a joke, but I bribed old Joe, that harmless Indian from the reservation, to pretend to kidnap the girl wearing this. You'll scream. I'll have Larry standing by. He'll rush out and save you. Pop goes the flashlight. And the picture will be in every paper tomorrow. And Larry will be a hero. Will you do it?
I'll do anything for Larry.
That's the girl. Now, when you see me wave my hanky, walk to the door. I'll leave this yellow wrap on the chair there. It's Eloise's, but she won't mind. Put it on, walk out, and be ready to scream.
I'm almost ready to scream now. I feel so nervous.
Not you. Not Anne O'Brien, girl. You just leave everything to Uncle Bill.
But...
No buts.
Yes, that's all very well, but...
No buts, I say. There are many things in life so hard to understand. How high is up, for instance, do you know? And why night falls but does not break, day breaks but does not fall. And when a match goes out, where does it go? We clipped and sent a coupon to a monthly magazine. We got a book that's plain as it can be. For these and other questions nobody ever asks, the answer is on page 103. It's the whichness of the whatness and the whereness of the who that has always been so difficult to me. And you must admit the whole thing is ridiculously simple, as well as simply ridiculous, see? Don't forget it, or remember to forget that you forgot. It will save you lots of trouble if you do. Just get this in your head and you will have it in a nutshell. It's the whichness of the whatness and the fairness of the who.
Everything is ready and Billy's plan is ready to go. The Indian and the photographer are waiting. Billy's about to give the signal to Alice, but Eloise sees her wrap on the chair, picks it up, and before Billy can stop her, walks outside. Too late, he rushes after her, but...
Oh!
Good heavens, that's Eloise!
Oh, what happened? What happened?
It was an Indian!
He tried to run off with Eloise, but Billy saved her. Here they are.
Oh, you wonderful man. You saved my child.
By goodness, Billy, you're a brave man.
But
Mr. Weathersby, I won't tell.
And to think Larry just stood by and did nothing. Oh, come to mother, my precious. I don't care what you say, Humphrey. I could never give my daughter to a man who couldn't protect her.
Then who are you going to give her to?
Why, who else than to the man who did?
Congratulations, Billy.
Well, if you insist. But what about Larry?
Oh, don't worry about me, sir. Because if Alice will have me, I'd like to announce my engagement to her.
But what will your father say?
I don't care what he says. What I want to know is what Alice says. I haven't asked her yet. Well, what do you say, darling?
Oh, Larry, of course I will, darling.
Learn to smile, you must learn to smile.
And the world's own smile will answer to your greeting.
Just a smile.
Without lure or guile.
One that shows a tender heart beneath its beating.
Not too bold.
And yet not too cold.
Just a hint of sweet approval shines upon it. Such a smile will make life worthwhile. From whoever sees it, that our love burns bright.
Little Miss O'Brien, far too high on fly.
In The O'Brien Girl, you heard Madeline Orr, Don Moore, Frank Rich, and Patricia Kennedy. The part of Billy was spoken and sung by Douglas Kelly. Your singing stars were Eula Parker, Jeff Brook, and the Keynotes. Orchestra and chorus conducted by William Flynn. Your narrator was Morris Kellard. The O'Brien Girl was produced by Alfred Potter and directed by Cedric Zahara.